People get online all the time. I see this in Facebook support groups. Help me settle a debate with my husband. Mm-hmm. And it's like the debate, it's not about being right or wrong. It's not about whose perspective is more valid. Just making a request. This is how I want to be treated.
Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it.
So welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today, Sharon Costanzo.
Yep.
Perfect. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So I'm a relationship coach, and I specialize in helping individuals and couples navigate conflict in their marriage and in their intimate relationships. So I love working with women, but I also really love working with couples, because then we can see like the full picture of what's the dynamic going on between the two of you, and what's kind of getting in the way of you being able to feel like you have healthy communication in your marriage. You're able to resolve conflict. You know, the thing that I hear often is, oh, we just sweep issues under the rug. Or even one of the things that people often don't think of as a problem with conflict is, I don't really feel connected to my partner anymore, because we've avoided, or we've had so many difficulties with having hard conversations for so long that we've kind of just gone our separate ways. You know, when you're a young mom and you've got kids going every which way and keeping you really busy, it's really easy to kind of just lose track of each other. Mm-hmm. Relationship. So those are some of the kind of issues and challenges that I help couples and also individuals with.
I love this, because we need more help with couples communication a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I want to talk more about what you just said about the disconnection, and I want to ask this question.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a theory.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Would you say that a relationship that has one person, or that a relationship needs both people willing to work on it and or themselves in order for the relationship to last?
There's so many different ways you can take that, because I think like your last statement of the relationship lasting is important. I think a lot of relationships last without a whole lot of connection and a whole lot of things making the couple really thrive as a couple. Yeah. And then also, but I think the whole premise of your conversation, like, do both people need to be kind of invested in the work of the relationship in order for it to be considered successful?
At least a happy relationship. That is what I meant. So yes.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, it's a question that you can take in so many different directions. Yeah. But the way I look at it and my experience in my relationship, and I share this on my podcast as well often, is I'm definitely the more like personal development interested person in my relationship. My husband's a little bit more of what you'd consider maybe a typical guy. He will do things that I ask him to do if I don't ask, if I'm not asking him, like, let's go on a couples retreat once a week, or let's, we don't read books together. We don't listen to the same podcasts. He doesn't listen to my podcast, which people are always surprised to hear about. But I do feel like we have a meaningful and satisfying relationship. And I think there's two reasons why. I've been really focused on my part and how I contribute to the dynamic. We have had a lot of really big struggles in our relationship. I focus on my part, and then I also ask for what I want and need. And he responds to that. He doesn't initiate it, but he responds to it. I don't think that we could have a healthy, satisfying relationship if I asked him, hey, can we try and have a date night at least 2 or 3 nights a month? And he said, no, absolutely not. Like, our relationship wouldn't work. But he, I personally don't need him to be the one coming up with the ideas and initiating things in order to feel satisfied in my relationship. And I think that's a very individual question. Like, what do you need to be satisfied in your relationship? And the other thing I really encourage my clients to work on and understand and become a little bit more aware of is, what is my contribution to this dynamic? If I'm not happy in the relationship, what is my part in that, and addressing that? So we ask for what we want and need. We don't have expectation of like 100% getting what we want. But am I getting enough from this relationship to feel fulfilled and satisfied? I do think that's possible, even if you have one person in the relationship who's maybe not quite as engaged and invested as the other person.
Yeah. I would say that you were describing my husband when you were describing yours. Except he would listen to my podcast when I was traveling a lot. And so he just wanted to hear my voice.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. But yeah. But a lot of, I've heard a lot of similarities between those two men, and he will come to me when he has something that he wants me to, you know, focus on for him. Like, he'll communicate his needs, to me as well. Mm-hmm. And I like that you didn't say this outright, but what I heard was that, you know, it's not specific to the 3 date nights a month thing. It's specific to what is it that you need to feel connected to your partner, and that your partner be willing to do that thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of women, especially, we've been kind of taught this idea of what an ideal relationship looks like and what the effort it takes to have that relationship should be. And when that doesn't match our reality, it can feel really confusing. We can feel maybe even shame about it. Ugh, did I pick the wrong partner? Am I doing something wrong? There's just so many feelings and emotions and beliefs that we have about what that means about us and our relationship that we can unpack and maybe get some kind of clarity and wisdom about to help us navigate that. Another thing I would say that's really true for my relationship is that, you know, are we in the same place we were in 5 years ago? Are we still struggling with the same things that we were struggling with 5 years ago and not resolving anything? There are things I'm not, you know, thrilled about right now that I would like to be different, but I know that in the past we've resolved some of our issues, and I know that in the future we'll have more to resolve. So are we growing and progressing as a couple? Is a lot, I think, better metric for what the success of a marriage is, rather than do we have this ideal, whatever our ideal is, are we there? Early on in my marriage, and I share this a lot, like, our biggest conflict was childcare, household responsibilities, those kind of the day-to-day grind partnership issues. And we don't have those issues anymore. Mm-hmm. But we have other, you know, other things that we're working on. So I think that's another kind of realistic metric of success as in the relationship, is, are we growing and progressing as a couple? Are we dealing with things as they come up? Are the things that are really important to me being recognized and addressed within the relationship?
Yeah, I think that those are really important. That's a important distinction, because, you know, there is no perfect relationship. And expecting your relationship to look like somebody else's relationship is, you know, adding poison to the well, I think.
Yes, and that was another huge learning for me, because I'm like a really, you know, high achieving person. I kind of, my survival mechanism as a kid was to figure out what the rules were and follow the rules. And I also, my educational background is in engineering. So I was like, I can do anything a man can do. I'm out here. I have a whole lot to prove about equality and marriage and stuff. And the marriage I had just wasn't what I envisioned. And for someone to be able to tell me like what your marriage looks like, there's no like gold standard of an ideal marriage. You get to decide. And of course you get to decide that with your spouse. It's not like it's not like a unilateral decision that you make, this is what we're going to do. But you and your partner come together and talk about what your values and your goals are and your desires for your relationship are, and kind of work that out as a couple.
Yeah, that's so important. I think that all of this, you know, type of personal development stuff that is out there is like, we can't forget the first word is it's personal.
Yeah. And I think also we're very human, like, and I think sometimes if you're it sounds like you're kind of in a similar kind of a relationship, and I imagine that a lot of your listeners are, if you're really into personal development and your spouse maybe has a different perspective on that, it can be really easy to get judgmental of them for not being invested in the same things that you're invested in.
Yeah.
And letting go of that. I think we can become judgmental of our spouses for that. And then we can also kind of internalize some shame. Like, what does it mean about me that they don't care about this as much as I do? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of feelings and stories we can tell ourselves about that.
Yeah. And my husband is very, I don't know where he gets it from, because he doesn't do the studying like I do on the daily. He doesn't deep dive, but when any time I come to him with something new that I've learned, he's like, oh yeah, I thought about that and da da da. And I'm just like, how do you know all of this stuff? Like,
yeah.
Someone actually asked me who's the smartest person that I know. And I was like, my husband, because I don't ever teach him anything. And I'm constantly learning, and it's really confusing. And there's also areas that that he doesn't, you know, go deep where I have, and mm-hmm. there's resistance, and I love him in spite of the resistance, and like that's his journey. And I think that it's important to accept that, honestly, 90% of the personal development world is women.
Yeah, there's a lot of women, for sure. I do think I think men maybe approach it in different ways. I think for a lot of men, their personal development is focused on their careers or other things. But yeah, that is kind of an interesting observation. I think women are definitely socialized to get their self-esteem kind of from that type of work.
Yes. And men from their own work.
Yeah. Yep.
For sure. And you know, it's not, there's no, I'm not throwing shade on people or on men specifically. It's just that's what I've noticed about the personal development industry specifically.
Yeah.
So what is there something that you notice to be like more common in your clients or in the work that you do, like a really common thing that happens amongst communication?
Yeah, I think a lot of the women that I work with, they're typically like high achieving, goal oriented women. And they bring that into their marriage. You know, they bring some of these preconceived notions of this is how I want things to be. And now my job is to kind of get my husband on board with my project. And that causes a lot of resistance in the marriage. And it's really hard for us. I think it's just a human thing. It's really hard for us to take a step back and be more curious of what is it like for to be on the receiving end of this project. What is it like to be another adult in this relationship and be kind of given the standard operating procedures for the relationship and told this is how it's going to be? And I don't even think that we intend to be that harsh, and maybe not everyone is that harsh, but or that bossy or whatever term you want to use. But one of the things that has been so helpful for me, one little insight that's been really helpful for me personally and for my clients is, I mean, even if when we do a ton of personal development work, you are not the expert on how a relationship should be. You're the expert on how you want to be in a relationship and what you want your relationship to be like. And I have this really stupid, silly example, but I think it's a really helpful idea. So my husband has this idea that using someone else's toothbrush is not a big deal. I do not share that opinion. Like, even when he went down to St. George, it's the city close to us. His dad has a home there, and he calls me and he's like, I forgot my toothbrush. I'm just going to use my dad's. And I was like, it's like, go to the grocery store and buy a toothbrush. Like, I would not want somebody coming into my home and using my toothbrush. Like, my husband has a totally different idea on boundaries in general than I do. And instead of saying like, no, it's absolutely inappropriate to use someone else's toothbrush, and he has used my toothbrush before and I've asked him not to. And we could get into an argument about whether or not it's appropriate to use someone else's toothbrush. And you can go in circles and you can never decide. You know, people get online all the time. I see this in Facebook support groups. Help me settle a debate with my husband. Mm-hmm. And it's like the debate, it's not about being right or wrong. It's not about whose perspective is more valid. Just making a request. This is how I want to be treated. So we both have electric toothbrushes. I got some hot pink nail polish and painted a little mark on the handle of my toothbrush just to remind my husband, like, I don't want to share toothbrushes with you. Please leave my toothbrush alone. Yeah. And we don't have to decide whether that's right or wrong. It's just, this is how I want to be treated, and this is what I expect or I'm requesting from you. And this is what I'm going to do to kind of, and like I said, it's a stupid thing with toothbrushes, but it does come up. You know, we think about parenting, and if we're the mom, we're probably really invested in reading all of the parenting research and getting ideas about parenting. And we think, okay, this is the right way to do things. But when we're in a relationship with another adult, we have to consider that their perspective is just as valid as ours. And we make requests rather than saying, this is how it's going to be. No, let's talk about it. Let's talk about why our point of view is important to us, what our goals are for our kids, and go at it from that angle rather than going at it from the angle of being right.
Yeah. What I love about that example is pretty much what you just said, is like, it's not about, like, it doesn't matter if your husband likes to use, is okay with using other people's toothbrushes or not. It is not okay with you that he use your toothbrush. Right. That's the point of the discussion, where the society gets so distracted on, I need to be right, mm-hmm. and / or make you wrong
Yeah.
You know, and that is, that creates a lot of issues, I think, inside relationships. One thing that my husband and I have discussed quite often is that we don't have a lot of resentments towards each other, and we've never like allowed those types of situations to fester. So if he does do something that hurts my feelings, we talk about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and what I made it mean. Mm-hmm. And not even like what you did wrong,
right?
Okay, but what I made it mean about what just this whole situation.
Yeah. And that's such an important skill to have, to separate the facts of the situation from how it felt, you know, what that impact was on me. So I love that you shared that and just clearing the air that way, rather than being like, you did this and it was wrong because it hurt my feelings.
Right.
But, you know, most of the time our partners aren't. I'd say even when your partner, it seems like they're being hurtful on purpose, their intention is not just to hurt you.
Unless they're not a good person in general.
Right, right. And anything we're saying today does not apply to abusive relationships at all. I do want to have that caveat. It's so important to name that and call that out as well.
When my husband and I first started, we were actually friends for a year and a half before we started dating. And I wanted to be dating during that year and a half, and he wasn't on board. And he told me about this book called Getting the Love You Want. And he said, oh, you should read it here. I have it on Audible. And he shared it with me. And I was so irritated that he was wanting me to read this relationship book, that when he didn't want to be in a relationship, I was like, I don't get it. But it changed fundamentally how I looked at relationships. And when I asked the question what do you think is the biggest, you know, or most consistent problem that you see, that wasn't what I was expecting. What I expected to hear
was
something along the lines of, you know, when we're hurt in a relationship, we withhold our giving what they need.
Because
our needs are not being met.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. That is a big one. That withdrawal. And I think that every one of us goes to withdrawal and withholding at some point. I'm trained in relational life therapy, is what it's called, from Terry Real. And he has the five losing strategies in relationships. And one of them is withdrawal, which I think withholding also kind of goes along with that, or withholding can be a form of retaliation, which is another losing strategy. And the thing that he says about it that I think is so wise is, like, it makes sense that we do it. It's not productive at all, but it makes sense when we don't have that trust. Like, it sounds like you and your husband have such a great trust that if I share with him how his behavior impacted me and that I was hurt, I trust that he's going to respond well to that.
Yeah.
But if we don't have that kind of trust in the relationship, then it's really easy to get into these unproductive patterns of, maybe if I withhold something, and I hear this from my clients all the time, like, oh, well, I'm trying to get his attention. Like, maybe he'll wake up and be like, oh, I've been such a jackass. And it never works.
Never.
It never works. But I think it was probably modeled as well in the homes growing up. And we repeat what we've learned, especially when we haven't learned anything better. So I think that's so cool that you were able to get that insight before you guys even got together. And I think also it sounds like he is into personal development, at least to some extent.
Yeah, I think that that was a college, like a book that he read in college.
Oh, or
something. I'll have to ask him how he got a hold of that book. Because, I mean, and that was 8 years ago, and that was probably the last book he ever really asked me to read. But
oh, funny.
But yeah, I mean, maybe that's why he knows so much, is because he would listen. Now, I know when he, one of his jobs that he had was literally just 8 hours of standing. And so, you know, just he did security for a while. And so it's just, all you're doing is like scanning to see if there's a problem. But while he's doing that, he listened to a lot of podcasts and I would imagine books. And
yeah.
So that's how he knows everything. But and I don't say it in a mean way. It's like, right. I'm in awe of like his knowledge of everything.
Yeah. And it sounds like learning must be like one of his core strengths or core values too.
Yeah. And well, drowning out the voices in his head is how that manifests, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we had an incident this morning that I take my son to school in the morning, and sometimes we take the dogs, and this morning I took the dogs, and I don't know what happened, but the dog ended up pooping in my car, like, just awful. Like, I don't even know which dog it was, because there's two dogs, but one of them was sitting with his face next to mine, and he doesn't usually do that. I barely know he's there. The other one will sit in the front seat, and he's just panting, and I'm like, is he hot? Like, that's not I didn't know what was going on, and then I figured it out, and now I'm looking back, 100% I wanted somebody to blame for this, because I was mad that I was going to have to clean up the car, and I wanted to throw blame. And I disagree with whether or not we should feed the dogs anything other than dog food. And I called him and I said, did you give the dog something last night? Because both of them had accidents today. And I couldn't hear, he was in the shower when he answered the phone. I couldn't hear anything that he said, which was probably good, because he actually laughed at the situation, which would not have made me feel good. And I said, can we please stop feeding the dogs anything but dog food? And I didn't hear what he responded. And I was like, this is futile. I just hung up the phone. I got home and he came out and he was really nice. He's like, do you want some help cleaning it up? And I didn't say anything. I was just too in my anger to have any kind of conversation. And I knew anything coming out of my mouth would not have been productive. And after I was done and I just sat for a minute and I was like, oh, yeah, I need to apologize. And so I knew he was on a call upstairs. So I texted him, I'm sorry. And he goes, I'm sorry, I laughed. And I was like, didn't know you laughed, but thank you. He also really taught me, you know, don't speak in anger.
Oh, that's another big one. And I actually did. I just did a couple's kind of workshop on that, like how to stop yourself from what I call psychological violence. You know, if you're in anger, if you're frustrated, if you're too activated to have a productive conversation, just stop. Not forever. And that's the biggest mistake I think that people make in tough conversations, is first trying to talk when you're flooded or activated, and then second, never, not knowing how to get back into the conversation after you've calmed down and either smooth things over and decided to let it go, or resolve whatever issue it is that you have.
And that right there is why my marriage to my son's dad and I did not work, because we would have the conflict and he would walk away to calm down, which at first I allowed. But when he would come back, he didn't want to talk about it anymore because he would just start the fight again. And so now I'm like, yeah, but I had things that that I needed to say and they're pent up inside of me. So then I started following him when he was trying to escape the conversation, and that didn't end very well either. Mm-hmm. So the first fight that my husband and I had while we were dating, he left the conversation, and it was triggering that he left. Sure. But he came back and we talked about it, and it was, it built that trust that, okay, if he walks away, it's to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back. And so my job in that while he's gone is to calm down myself and reflect on what created my emotions in this moment and go from there. And then we can come back together and talk.
Yes. And that's so beautiful. And I love that you had that, like your very first experience with a disagreement with your husband was, I mean, it was unsettling at first, but it was a good experience overall.
We've dissected that argument so many times. Like we learned things. We learned the foundation of our relationship was learned from that argument, because mm-hmm. like, there's so many things that come from, like, I was raised this way and he's raised this way. And so the way that my family celebrated birthdays felt disrespectful to him because of the way that his family celebrated birthdays.
Oh, funny.
And I learned his love language. I learned so many things from that argument. Like if we look at arguments as just new information of how we could work together better instead of I'm right, you're wrong, and or vice versa, then
yeah,
a lot more productive relationship. Oh,
for sure. That's so true. I think that's great. I think that conflict is an opportunity to understand each other better and to understand yourself better and what is really important to me, or, you know, what is really important to me, or what is some like hurt that I haven't fully resolved, mm-hmm. because we either act out of our values or we act out of our hurt, mm-hmm. and which, you know, sometimes deciphering which one of those things it is kind of tricky. A lot of learning about yourself and each other in those moments. And if we avoid it, you know, if we do like what unfortunately happened in your first marriage and aren't able to come back, we either grow apart over time or it just becomes too much to handle and continue.
Yeah. It was for me, for our relationship, it was very explosive, and it was like, it was just done one day, and I was like, oh, what happened? And it's just all these little hurts and that turn into these little traumas that turn into this big trauma that is,
mm-hmm.
that was hard to come back from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a piece of advice that you want to give to moms listening?
Such a great question and an open question. I think as a mom, I think the biggest piece of advice I would give is that you matter. Mm. Like, I grew up like thinking that becoming a mom was going to be like the pinnacle of my life. And it is, it's such a privilege to be a mom. And I tell my kids that all the time, because I didn't grow up feeling like my mom liked being my mom. You know, that's a kind of a sad thing to say, but I tell my kids, I'm glad that I get to be your mom, but I'm also glad that I get to be me as a mom. And the things that we care about matter. You know, it's taking care of ourselves matters, you know, speaking up for how we deserve to be treated in our relationships matters. And that really does have to come from a place of I matter as an individual, and not just what I can do for everyone else in my life.
Yeah, I love all of that. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Is there a book that was instrumental in your personal development journey?
There's so many. One of the ones that I really love to talk about, especially in the work that I do, is that I actually have it right here, so I'll show it to you. This one is called Everything Isn't Terrible.
Oh, love it.
It talks about kind of overcoming your insecurity and anxiety in conflict, so feeling more calm, and it talks about some of our patterns and tendencies. That's one that I talk about a lot, but so many. I could give you a whole list, but we'll give you that one today. Everything Isn't Terrible.
I love it. And like, that's literally why I ask for books is, you know, if my readers enjoy it, that's great. But that's 100% for me, because I've gotten some really good book recommendations.
Yeah.
From really smart people who've already read the books. But where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. My Instagram handle is respected and connected, and it's respected_and_connected. I do have a podcast. It's called Respected and Connected, and it's on all of the podcast platforms. My website is also called Respected and Connected. So if you want to learn anything about the courses or programs or individual work that I do, you can find me at respectedandconnected.com.
And I think there was talk of a freebie.
Yes. So I do have a freebie, and it's called 5 Reasons Why Couples Get Stuck in Unproductive Conflict, which is definitely relevant to the topic we've had today. And you can find that at respectedandconnected.com/unstuck. And it's also on the main page of my website as well.
I love it. Thank you so much for everything that you've shared, for your freebie and all of your wealth of knowledge. And I can tell you're passionate about what you do. And I love that you're helping couples not just stay together, but to maybe even fall back in love with each other if they've gotten to that point where they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely important work for me. And I think it's important work as parents. Yeah. We want to leave a legacy for our kids of relational health, really.
Absolutely. So we will have another episode of Imperfect Momming coming for you all next week. And until we meet again, keep healing. Bye, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Momming. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alishalyons.com. That's alishalyons.com. See you next time.